Welcome to Jumbie, a podcast all about the monsters that even colonialism couldn't kill. Jumbie is a Creole word from the Caribbean that encompasses all spirits and demons that haunt the multitude of cultures that converge there. On this podcast, we're going to hear dark and haunting stories from local storytellers that are inspired by or about the spirits, monsters, and other cryptids that people surviving colonialism have used to process the horrors inflicted on their communities. This podcast was originally recorded in the fall of 2021, with several episodes originally released between October and December. That original season featured contributions from an individual whose values don't coincide with the intentions of this podcast. However, the stories and insights from those storytellers, including those that have yet to be released, are too valuable not to be shared. The following season of Jumbie has been re-edited to put the focus on the storytellers and the lessons they can teach us. So check your locks, look under your beds, and in your closets, because you're about to listen to Jumbie, Colonized Monsters. On this episode, we have Tanya Hernandez. Tanya, a born Jamaican and citizen of Canada, is a teacher, author, poet, recording artist, and Jamaican folklorist. Miss Tanya Liu, as she is affectionately called, has thrilled the audience at Hamilton's largest festival, It's Your Festival, and at Dundas Cactus Festival. She channels the spirit of her cultural hero, the Honorable Dr. Louise Bennett Coverley, or Miss Liu, and contributes to the preservation, promotion, and performance of artistic expressions of her birth country. Now here's Tanya as she tells us about John Canoe.
My name is Tanya Hernandez, aka Miss Tanya Liu. Today, I will be talking about John Canoe, symbol of an enduring spirit in the Americas. I am from Jamaica, and as a little kid, I would hear the beating of drums from way down the road. And then there came a group of masqueraders called John Canoe. They were all dressed in many different types of costumes, and you would have the devil, you would have the bride, you would have cuckoo, you would have horse head, you'd have ass head, you would have just many different types of John Canoe characters coming down the road, reveling and singing and dancing to the beat of drums, and you would hear fifes as well. And they would come, you know, they seemed a bit menacing because as a child, you see these people with these masks on. You are exhilarated, but at the same time, you are scared, especially horse head and devil. I was so scared. I would just run behind my family members and hide. But they danced and they sang and you heard the drum beats, and a lot of the kids would dance behind them because it was a procession that went down the road. And what they would do is they would come to homes, or, you know, they would want to get some of, you know, some money for their own Christmas celebrations, because it's usually during Christmas that they would come. And sometimes they would come and they would ask for money from the spectators, and they would use it for themselves or they would use it for charity. So I also remember too that there was a John Canoe song. These paraders, they would sing this song called Christmas a Come. Christmas a Come me wa me lama, Christmas a Come me wa me lama, Christmas a Come me wa me degede, Christmas a Come me wa me degede. And they would go, pretty, pretty girl me wa me lama. And they would keep going, pretty, pretty girl me wa me degede. What lama is, it's a word for present. And degede mean finery. So they would be in like tattered clothes. I remember that. And they would sing. Apparently, this is from the days of slavery. They would sing that. And of course, it came right back down to us here for us to learn of what our ancestors did during those times of slavery. So they would sing this song in merriment. And as they sang this song, and they say, Christmas a kombi wa mi lama, Christmas a kombi wa mi degede, we would give money to them. Yes, it would be just be a day of merriment and fun. And as a child, you don't know much about them. You just knew that this was a part of our heritage. And it wasn't until as I got older and I did my research that I realized that this was a part of our African ancestry. Yeah, and that's why I named it Jonkun, a symbol of an enduring spirit in the Americas, because our ancestors came from their world into a new world, into the Caribbean and into the south part of America. And it was a new life for them. And they're trying to survive and endure. And so they brought about merging their African culture here with our culture in the Caribbean world, in Jamaica. Of course, you had it in also Bahamas and in many parts of the U.S., also Belize. And so, yes, this was just a merging of the old with the new and coming up with this masquerade, this celebration of Jonkunu. And yes, I would like to further talk later about the history of it, what I learned. But I am glad to have known this very important part about my ancestors, about their ability to survive and do merrymaking. They are always merrymaking, the drums and the dance and the music. It just symbolizes their strength. And I have this proverb that says, "Tek kinti kibahat mon." What it means is we take our kinti, mean we smile amid the pain that we're going through. And so I have learned that from my ancestors. Through the Jonkunu people, they reveled and they performed. And while it might seem to some people that the masks were terrifying, you know, they just represented their culture, parts of their culture. And the Jonkunu, what I remembered hearing that the Jonkunu was called like cuckoo, and what that meant was a symbol of strength. So I really remembered this very fondly about my childhood. And yeah, I hope it's something you want to hear more about. Research, I realized that it's more from West Africa, and no scholar can be definitive about the real nature of Jonkunu except that it has elements of African drumming and masking. Some believe that it was spiritual because our African ancestors, they would use drumming and dancing and music to honor their ancestors and also to invoke their ancestors too. So it's a bit spiritual, it's cultural. And I can imagine you leave your world to come to a new world. And just like how they had to learn a new language, we speak Patois in Jamaica, which is a merger of the African and the English and the French and Spanish Portuguese. I see the same thing as our African ancestors coming here to the new world, and they had to assimilate and they had to merge their cultures, because I'm sure all our ancestors were from different tribes and they had different languages and cultures. So they had to come learn a new language, do everything, but because their spirit was always to thrive and always had a celebratory spirit, I can imagine they all came together and made a new Creole culture, one of which is Jonkunu masquerading and celebration. I was told that one of the masks, one called Pichipachi, it was reminiscent of the Egungun massacres of the Yoruba tribe. You know, there are many elements, but I believe that there were many derivations came about from the early 18th century until now. I don't know if you have heard of Belisario, but he's a Jewish artist, a lithographer. And he had this painting called Band of the Jawbone, Jawkanu, from 1837 to 1838. In this lithograph, I saw Jawkanus wearing hats. They were not in these masks, right? And you saw three men playing instruments with a small child, one man playing a conventional Western drum, I believe a bass drum, while another played the gumbe, also called the bench drum. It's a small wooden frame, and they put the hide of goat skin over it. And there was one person where they were playing a rasp. And what that rasp is was the jawbone of a horse, on the teeth of which a piece of wood is passed quickly up and down, occasioning a rattling noise. So these jawkanu, they call them the band of the jawbone jawkanu. They had a different way of portraying this celebration. I could say that, yes, a lot of it came from Africa, but as to the entire thing, I just think it's an amalgamation of the different cultures that came here, plus the immersion into this new culture. There was another lithograph that I saw. It was called Jawbone or House Jawkanu. And this man was dressed in a red coat, white mask, a long-haired wig, and carrying a model house on his head. It was a big house, right? So here is this man in pseudo-military dress style. This was our Negro ancestors doing that. And he would carry this house. The house was decorated, usually constructed of pasteboard and colored paper and ornamented with beads, tinsels, pieces of looking glass. And this man, he would carry it on his head, and he would be doing many contortions of body and limb, dancing, just the way how the jawkanus, they jump and prance and they move around. He was doing the same thing back then in the early 19th century. Costumes for sure changed, but the similarities endured, the same masking and the dancing. What I do know what's different, in the early days, as I said, they used to go around asking for money from the spectators. And this was from days of slavery after crop over. They would be allowed, the massa, the plantation would allow them to do their own celebrations. And they would go and they would ask for money for the spectators. Nowadays, it's only a few places where the jawkanus go and ask for money. But I do know that in North and South Carolina and in Jamaica as well, and we don't really collect the money, but some of the costumes are nicer and more celebratory and carnivalesque. Whereas before, the costumes might be more tattered. It depends on where you live. So for Jamaica, I can only speak really for my country, is that the only difference is possibly the costuming. We had jawbone, we have cow head, we have horse head, we have the belly woman, we have the bride and the devil. In the days of old, they did not wear these kind of masks. We didn't see that. So I guess there were just different derivations as the years went by. And I just believe that they were just trying to celebrate and make something good out of something bad. I remember as a child, we were really scared of the devil or horse head. One of them would carry a wooden sword in their hand. Well, it was a wooden stick rather. But in the old days, they carried a wooden sword. You know, we were scared when they would go around moving around the stick at us and jumping at us and everything. And then when I did my research, and let me tell you, I did research from the Dictionary of Jamaican English, and they found the etymology of the word jawkanu, and parts of it had healer, sorcerer, something, witch doctor. That's what I do know. I do know that the jawkanu is also, he is the leader and the chief dancer of the troupe of Negro dancers. And he wears an elaborate horn mask or headdress. But by the end of the 18th century, they started to wear the estate house or the houseboat. It was never a canoe, though, because sometimes you hear people say John Canoe, C-A-N-O-E, but there was never a canoe. It was a houseboat. So we don't do that now. With our John Canoes, we don't carry a houseboat. We don't have any canoes. They wear their masks, right? And it takes place during the Christmas holiday, same around the time of slavery. Other countries, though, it would happen at New Year's or after Christmas, Boxing Day, New Year's. For Jamaicans, we have always normally during the Christmas holiday. And they have this big procession with, you know, lots of music. Other places like New Orleans and places, it's a very elaborate carnivalesque type. So that's where a difference is. This was not a huge carnival back in the day, but now there are big carnivals that you could go to in the Bahamas or North South Carolina or New Orleans. Some people believe that they wore it to give some subliminal message. Some people thought they were making fun of the masses in their costuming. They were trying to send messages. Some people believe this is not definitive. There's nowhere that you can find out why they wore these masks. But people made some good guesses to say that they were representing their experience and telling how they felt about their masters. I don't know when they put on the devil outfit. I don't know. They're probably looking at their masters as devilish. I really can't say that for sure. But most people just says that because of their culture of mass, they created their own Creole culture here and came up with these new type of mask, because this was not a part of the African experience. They performed antics, right? I guess it's just their own way of their own carnival, because John Canoe is called a celebration and a carnival. There's a lot of masks, people dressed up in different types of outfits. The instruments that they use is basically the same. I hear back in the day, they had a banjo. That's the type of instrument that they use. One thing I found out too, that there was this man called J-O-H-N-C-O-N-N-U, John Canoe. People are surmising the John Canoe dance is probably an honorable memorial. He was, they called a Cabocero in Tres Puntas in Axim in the Guinea coast. It's the African coast of West Africa. And this was way back in the 1720s. And they said he bore great authority among the Negroes of that district. And the town of Axim, it's a coastal town in the western region of southern Ghana. So here we have this account. And then it morphed into many different John Canoes now, where we have different mass people. But I believe from the day back in the 1720s, they were actually representing a great leader. I love this. I'm a Jamaican folklorist. So I continue to carry on the works of the Honorable Dr. Louise Bennett Coverley, the mother of Jamaican culture. And so I go around and I perform her works and plus works that I have done about Jamaican culture through artistic expressions of poetry, songs, riddles, Anansi stories and different types of other stories. And I go around and I perform. So in order to be authentic and to let people know what our ancestors, what they were all about, I have to research, because Miss Lou, that's what she was lovingly called, she actually went around to the different country areas and collected folklore. She was a drama officer for the Jamaican Social Welfare Commission that sent her around the island to learn about the culture and also to infuse and to promote the culture to our people. So I read a lot from her books. I read so much. Plus, I go and Google research papers. There's one called bilby.pdf. that's a good place to go. And also, I'm a member of the, it's called Vintage Jamaica on Facebook. They have so much information about Jamaica. So I collect a lot of witness accounts. What I did find out too, that was very interesting, was that the Jonkuna celebrations were almost similar to the Dinky Mini celebrations that happened in Jamaica. When a person died, they had 8 nights of celebration and no one was allowed to be unhappy. They wanted to really cheer up the family members of the person that died. And so it was like 8 nights of revelry, loud dancing, loud music. And that was where the potpourri of cultures came about, because people would just make up a song and do dances. And so the Dinky Mini celebrations remind me so much of the Jonkuna celebrations, where they would perform. They would be full of gaiety and full of merriment. Our people, they really came from some real dire circumstances, taken out of their home, and they had to make it. We have this propensity to be able to be creative, take our hand, make fashion. We take what we have and we make the best out of it. And I think you can agree with me. When you see our rich culture, our rich African Caribbean culture, you can see that the people are strong, they're happy, and they make the best of what we have. And as we call them in Jamaica, we're little, but we're talawa. We might be little, but we overcome. And they came to the Caribbean, to the US, to this new world, not having their spirits being destroyed, but instead they created their own Creole culture, their own folk culture with elements of their African culture. And I have more of appreciation of these Jonkuna masqueraders more than when I was younger. Like for me, I'm from Jamaica and I'm mixed. I'm out of many one people, Jewish, Irish, East Indian, Black, everything you can think of, Heinz 57. And I am glad to have in my potpourri of culture, my African ancestry. I believe that's one of the reasons why I'm so strong. I mean, I'm a woman of faith, but I believe our culture has a lot to do with the way we are. From a child, I always liked to sing and write. I talked about the Honorable Dr. Louise Bennett Coverley, and she is the mother of our Jamaican culture. And what she did back in the day in the 70s, when I was a little picnic girl, on, you know, our black and white TVs, right? We had every Saturday morning ring ding. And ring ding is symbolic of the ring ding of our ancestors when they had the moonshine darling ring ding affair, when everybody would come outside and perform something. So Miss Lou always tried to promote the culture. I was actually invited to come on and we would sing Jamaican folk songs or Caribbean folk songs, and dances and riddles and poetry. And I realized from then on, I was a very artistic person. And then as I got older, I did perform at private functions. But when I really got into it is after we moved to Canada. I'm here now for over, say, 26 years. And my little kids, in order for them to remember their culture, I started doing folklore work and promoting it in the schools, in the libraries. And I went and did my first stand-up skit. They even gave me a nice little plaque for my theatric performances. People started saying, wow, you remind me of Miss Lou. You know, I have the big eyes and I guess expressive. And then I continued to research her more. I love to perform her poems. And then that brought me to writing a book called One Pot, which is a blend of Jamaican, Canadian, Caribbean recipes, my own poetry, and my own true stories about the culture shock I experienced here. And as you know, Canada, it's a multicultural country. It has many different peoples from all over the world. And so just like Guyana and Jamaica, we are out of many one people. We are the same flesh and blood, but we have different cultures. And we are coming together in unity with the best of ourselves, teaching each other about who we are. And that is the only way that we can really survive with so many different cultures, is if we understand where we're coming from and we feel proud about where we're coming from. I find my life in my mid-50s now feeling just so happy that from a child, where I would love to perform on my veranda and write songs, and now here am I. I actually have my own album now, and my music album is called Shades of My Heart. And in that album, I actually dedicated a song to Miss Lou. And I also do songs about present COVID crisis. I do calypso type songs, reggae songs, R&B songs. So I think I've been blessed. I just thank God for the life he has given me and that you would invite me on today, even though we're from different countries and whatever, but we still have this celebratory feel about us and we go hard with it, right? They kept this enduring celebratory spirit about them to know. And look at us now, descendants. We are doing the same thing. So we might have different names for different things, but it's all the same when we think, why did we do it? I really believe that we really need, as a group of Caribbean African people, to stick together and stop looking at our differences and look at our sameness. So if you are ever in the Hamilton community and you ever want to have a nice chat, a nice coffee, and just talk about life, Miss Tanya Lewis here. I just really love people. I have a website, TanyaLHernandez.com. You can find me there. You can find me on Instagram at Dorayte, Dorayte. I'm a Facebooker. Just put in Miss Tanya Lou. You will find me. I am just kind of, as we call it in Jamaica, bussing out in my 50s, trying to keep up.
You're listening to Jumbie. Produced and edited by Dev Ramsewa. Music by Z Thompson. Sound effects are Creative Commons sounds from freesound.org. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget to check those dark, shadowy corners.